So yes, I'm one of the co-founders of Raising Women's Voices, and I also direct Raising Women's Voices New York. I'm from Manhattan. I'm part of the steering committee of a statewide coalition called Healthcare for All New York, and I serve on the advisory board to the New York State of Health Marketplace, which is sort of New York's version of healthcare.gov, only ours works better, and has from the beginning. And my job today is to talk a bit about when having an insurance card isn't enough. So some of the problems that women have been facing with confusing insurance company rules, surprising costs, and other kinds of problems with the Affordable Care Act. I have no personal financial interest with any commercial interest to disclose. We would be a lot richer at Raising Women's Voices if we did, but we're very nonprofit. So let's start by saying how great it is that we have millions of newly insured women because of the Affordable Care Act. More than 7 million women so far have signed up for those private health insurance plans for which you can get subsidies on the health marketplaces, and millions more have gotten Medicaid. There's actually no gender breakdown of people who've gotten Medicaid for some strange reason, so I can only tell you that I'm sure it's millions. But we've been working hard to enroll women in health insurance all across the country, and what we've learned is the insurance card is not enough. This is Marcia Jones, who's one of our regional coordinators. She's based in Dallas, Texas at the AFIA Center. And she was one of many coordinators who came forward to tell us that people don't really understand how to use their health insurance. They're very confused by it. They don't really understand it. They don't know how to take advantage of it. They don't know how to get started. And she urged us to please do something about this. Another one of our coordinators from Atlanta, Quadalyn Jackson from the Feminist Women's Health Center, said that when women are coming into the health center for services, they're often surprised that they have to pay a copay or a deductible for some of the services that are not preventive. And she urged us to try to help educate women about when do you pay a copay, when do you pay a deductible, which things are free, and how to really get the best value out of your health insurance. So we've taken a four-part approach to this. And the first part is to educate women about the way that insurance works, to empower women to ask questions, become wise users of their coverage. So that's the health insurance literacy campaign that I'm going to talk to you about in a minute. And then we're doing two other things, which involve researching problems with health plan coverage. You're going to hear one of our coordinators, Kathy Wallagora from EverThrive Illinois, talk about some great research they did on contraceptive coverage problems. My own project in New York, we did some similar research into contraceptive coverage and found a lot of gaps and problems. And then when we find these problems, we want to fix them, right? So we're advocating for policy solutions to the problems we've identified. So let's start with the Health Insurance Literacy Project first. This is a brand new guide that we have just published. There are copies in the back. If we've run out of them, I have one more package of them up here in the front. It's also available online, as you will see. This new guide is the project of a year's work by our regional coordinators all around the country and our coordinating team. It covers the five steps you need to take to get the care you need. Has a list of free women's preventive services and covers four types of costs that you may have to pay and explains them in very simple terms. So here are some sample pages from the guide. One of the first things we realized is that women who haven't had health insurance before, they don't even know like what's on their insurance card. Why would they, right? Insurance is very confusing and nobody explains it to you. So we're explaining things like your member ID is important. You need to pay attention to that. There's a telephone number on there for member services to call with questions. And you can often find key information like the copays for some of the services that you want. Then we're stressing the importance of choosing a primary care provider who is in your plan network. Many of you in the room probably know the difference between in-network and out-of-network, but the millions of new women, newly insured women, many of them don't know it. And if they don't understand it, they can make a bad mistake, like going to an out-of-network provider and ending up with a big bill they didn't expect. So we offer advice about how to find a network, in-network provider, some things to think about as you're choosing one, like do you want a woman doctor or a man doctor? Do you want a nurse practitioner? Do you want someone who speaks a language other than English? Do you want a doctor who's in a clinic that's open weekend hours or evening hours? So we try to raise all those concerns and encourage women to ask member services to help them find a provider who's taking new patients, taking their insurance, and meeting their needs. We're also stressing the importance of not waiting until you are sick to go to the doctor. Using a well woman visit to get a free checkup and free preventive services. And it was actually Kathy Walagora here from Illinois who said to us as we were developing this guide, you know, I was with a woman who, just as she was being enrolled in health insurance, and we said to her, how about we help you make an appointment for your first well woman visit? And the woman said to her,
she said, sure, I mean, the navigator set up an appointment, and she said, okay, but how do I know I'm going to be sick that day? It was an eye-opening moment.
Yeah, that, you know, women who haven't had health insurance think of going to the doctor or going to the ER is when you're sick, not when you're well. We included in the guide, you'll see these little half pages that are in blue, and they are little sample dialogues. We made up some characters. In this case, we're seeing Sonia up there, Sonia Morales. She's 28 years old. She's a divorced mother of two. Has a boyfriend and hasn't had health insurance for a while. So we follow Sonia as she chooses a primary care provider who meets her needs, and we have little dialogues that show her conversations with health plans. And yes, they're in those bags there, Cecilia, are some more of the guides. And we tested this out over the summer with 115 women in different states. One of the things they loved the best about the guide were these little dialogues. They said, oh, you know, Sonia seems like me. And I'm not sure what to say when I call up the health plan. So I can just read off here exactly what Sonia is saying and it'll work for me, right? So we tried to make it as simple as possible. We had a lot of women who signed up for the bronze level health plans. And those of you who are familiar with the levels of health plans know that the bronze have the cheapest premiums, but they have big deductibles. And so we started to hear from women that they were encountering what we are calling the deductible hurdle, which is basically, I have this new health insurance, but oh my gosh, there's a $1,000 deductible. So what good is it? I can't use it because I can't afford to pay $1,000. So we're trying to help them over that hurdle by explaining to them what they can get started with for free, like a well woman visit, contraceptive care, STD screenings, flu shots. Get them into the doctor or nurse practitioner and start to make a relationship with a primary care provider. We suggested that they make a well woman visit. And when we were testing this with a group in East Harlem over the summer, one of the women said to me, what's a well woman visit? And we realized we hadn't explained it. So we added this little dialogue to the guide in which Sonia goes to visit Dr. Laguna for her first well woman visit. And if you read through it in the guide, you'll see that they have a discussion about her health history, her kids, why she's not exercising as much as she wishes she could. Oh, what are her contraceptive needs? Has she considered the long-acting reversible contraceptives? Would she like some more information about it? So we're doing a little education about women's health needs at the same time that we're showing them how to use their health insurance. Then we knew we had to explain those health insurance costs, those confusing costs, premium, deductible, copay, coinsurance. And I'll just tell you that these four little blocks of color blocks that have them in, each one has several pages explaining it, as you'll see in the guide. And we worked with a health literacy expert at the City University School of Public Health in New York to help us make it really simple, really easy to understand, 6th to 8th grade reading level. So we did field test our materials. We did a pre-workshop survey. We did 2-hour workshops where we introduced women to the materials, and a post-workshop survey to see if they assessed their concept, if they understood what we taught them. And the women, just so you know, the women who were in our field testing were average age 36, majority women of color. 46% had private insurance, the rest Medicaid or they don't know, which is not uncommon. Women don't know what they have. Many were low income. 1/4 do not speak primarily English. And we were really excited about the results. You can see that they felt a lot more confident about understanding how to find a doctor that's in their plan, what their copay would be, which women's health services are free, and how to use the guide going forward. They told us the guide was comprehensive but not intimidating. They really liked the design, which, by the way, has been done by the Parsons School of Design, which was given to us as a gift by the Ms. Foundation for Women. They liked the plain talk language. They liked those little samples. And the next step is we have now put all the content online. You can find it on myhealthmyvoice.com. Just went live yesterday. And we've made it, optimized it for mobile phones. So women will be able to go to myhealthmyvoice.com on their phones and pull up all the same material. So we're very excited about it. We're going to be launching this literacy campaign on Monday with a webinar at 2 p.m. featuring Tamia Booker from HHS, Teresa Younger from the Ms. Foundation, and one of our coordinators. And we're having a Twitter chat beginning at 3 p.m., so we hope some of you will join us. Next steps in our campaign, we're distributing copies of the printed guides, and we have brought free ones for all of you. We hope you'll take them home and get a hold of us and say, wow, I'd like 50 for my health center, or I'd like 100 for my group, because we'll follow up with you. We're producing a Spanish language version by the end of the year. Cecilia here is leading that project. If you want to help us distribute copies, if you'd like some for your group, you can just get a hold of us at this email. Meanwhile, I wanted to mention on the policy front, we're working on affordability. We're pressing state regulators to reject the unreasonable premium cost hikes. We're advocating for caps on the amount of monthly prescription costs and no unfair tiering of drugs that puts some drugs in really high cost categories. We're pushing for the adoption of the basic health program option in as many states as possible. And in my home state of New York, I'm very excited to say that as of Sunday, people could apply for the basic health program. It's called the Essential Plan in New York. It has premiums of $20 a month or zero and no deductible. This is for people between 138% of poverty and 200% of poverty. Very exciting. We're also taking a look into network adequacy. We're looking at, do the plans have the doctors that we need in them, and can we get appointments with them? In New York, we have found so far that 60% of the providers that we call from plan directories are incorrectly listed. They are either no longer in practice, or they're not at that location, or some other problem. So we'll be making some recommendations about that. And as you'll hear from Kathy Walagora about the contraceptive coverage, we're going to be now following up to see if the plans are complying with the new guidelines that came out from HHS. Some of us are also working on transgender health and trying to make the health plans cover the services that transgender individuals need. Nationally, we'll be submitting comments on Monday to HHS, urging them to adopt strong Section 1557 non-discrimination rules.